more on the inflation story and the interest rate story and the economic story from our next guest, former Senator Phil Graham, for many years, Senator from Texas. I don't know, one of the smartest guys I've ever met, a mentor of mine, helping me while I was in the White House. He's now an American Enterprise Institute visiting scholar. Phil Graham, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Let me begin. Some very nasty inflation readings this week. Consumer prices rising 8.3%. Producer wholesale prices rising 11%. Import prices rising 12.5%. Even with a reasonably strong dollar, import prices are rising. President Biden still in denial, blaming Vladimir Putin, blaming energy companies, blaming Donald Trump, blaming everybody in sight. What do you make of it, Senator Graham? What are you thinking about?
Well, first of all, I think it's clear that the inflation rate it may decline in the future. Everything will depend on what we do in the future. But as of right now, the inflation rate is high, and there's every evidence that it is going to stay high. In fact, the decline from 8.5% to 8.3% for the 12-year inflation rate was almost all due to a decline in gas prices, and since not only come back, but they're now at the highest level that we've seen in the modern era. So I think we have a problem. I think it begins with spending. You can't spend 50% more in government and have the Federal Reserve Bank buy the debt that is created in that process without prices going up. It was unrealistic to assume that anything else could possibly happen. And until the spending stops, we're going to continue to have inflationary pressures building in addition to the ones we already have.
So I don't see, from the spending side, Senator, I don't see any actions by Congress. I mean, Biden, for example, wants more spending. When he gave his speech last Monday, last Monday or Tuesday, he outlined about a half a dozen spending initiatives, you know, social spending programs mainly, sort of a, he's still pushing his Build Back Better. And the other one, Phil, that really troubles me is this crazy bill, this China Compete bill that's now in conference. Yeah. 18 Republicans voted for it in the Senate, $350 billion bill. And so, you know, I see more spending, more borrowing. And, yeah, money is still easy. But the spending side, why aren't Republicans standing up and screaming about that?
Well, it's clear that there's, at this point, there's virtually no hope of a reversal in actually beginning to try to reduce spending. But the incredible thing is that in the midst of this building inflation, Congress and the president seem determined to increase spending. And I think the Chinese Compete bill is a perfect example. The whole foundation of thought in the bill is that we can compete with China by out-China and China, by basically having government get involved in picking winners and losers. There's already building evidence that we're going to have an oversupply in the future of computer chips. And so what is government doing as new plants are being built all over the world? Trying to subsidize it with money we don't have and shouldn't be spending. So, no, it's a terrible bill, and I've written articles in opposition to it, but there is a compulsion to spend money, and when you're spending vast amounts of money, any resistance to spending, it seems to vanish.
And the other side is the Federal Reserve is buying about half of the bonds being issued, you know, borrowing to finance spending. And the Fed, you know, the Fed is awful slow. I mean, so many economists, including myself, for heaven's sakes, they're way behind the curve. They're raising the target rate by 50 basis points, Fed funds rate, with an 8.3% CPI. I mean, let's assume, okay, the broadest inflation indexes, personal consumption index and so forth, inflation rate may be basic 6.5 to 7%, all right? That's the lowest I can find any place. And the Fed's got a target rate that's less than 1%. So there's no positive real interest rates. And their balance sheet, they're still putting cash into the economy. They say they're going to slow that down, but they're still doing it. So I don't really get this. I mean, I don't see how we're going to conquer inflation here.
Well, I think they're trying to get a delicate balance to constrain the inflation without tipping the economy into a recession. And I understand that, and so I certainly appreciate it. But we are at the point now where inflation is the most serious threat the economy faces. It's something that's hurting every working family in the country. And the need to be decisive in dealing with it. And, the Fed was very outspoken during the pandemic in urging Congress to spend money to stimulate the economy. And it was unprecedented. No Fed had ever done that before. And I don't understand, given that they were outspoken saying it would help the economy if you spent more, then why aren't they saying it would help the economy if you spent less now? And I also believe that to constrain the economy, you've got to stop spending money, and you've got to have interest rates constrain borrowing. And I think we're moving toward that, but I believe we started to put the brakes on too late. I don't think we're pushing on the pedal hard enough. And we're simply compounding the problem, and the longer we wait to take decisive action, I'm afraid the more difficult the problem is going to be. And real wages are falling. They've fallen more in this inflation than they fell in the financial crisis. So we're really affecting working people, supposedly the people that government is spending all this money to help. So when people are going to wake up and decide that we're hurting the very people claim to be helping, I don't know when it's going to happen, but at some point here, the problem is going to get so serious that something will have to be done. And of course, we know in 1980, with the inflation rate at 13.5% and interest rates at 21.5%, the American people decided enough was enough, and they sent for Ronald Reagan.
Well, the cavalry's coming.
We could use a man like Ronald Reagan again.
Yes, we should. You and I were both young men when that revolution took place. We were part of it. Don't know if I see a Reagan on the horizon, but we'll see. Phil Graham, what are the odds that we can have a soft landing? What do you think about that?
Well, look, I think it's a wish that we all share. I think it's increasingly improbable. And sort of my view is like, if you got a toothache, you know it's going to hurt when you go to the dentist, but you want to get it over with. And I think people are ready for decisive action. And a lot of correcting policy is admitting you made a mistake. It's awfully hard to change policy if people don't acknowledge the policy that created the problem was the wrong policy. And what we're doing now is this incredible example of where the president says we need more oil and gas production, but I'm going to kill the oil and gas industry. We're going to provide more land for leasing, but I'm going to take offshore leasing rights away. All the time we can claiming that the very thing that caused the problem, runaway spending, is the solution to the problem. Now, I don't know even if they believe that. Certainly the American people don't believe it. But I would have to say it's very discouraging that Congress keeps spending money. It's remarkable to me. I can't imagine under these circumstances that there would not be a growing voice in Washington saying enough is enough. Let's stop the spending.
Senator, let me take a quick break. I want to come back and pursue this because President Biden's speech this past week was in complete denial about this. And in fact, he keeps arguing that more spending programs are going to lower costs for families and individuals when in fact it's just the opposite. He won't own the problem, so we're never going to solve it. I got to take a quick break. Senator Phil Graham, folks, I'm Larry Kudlow. We'll be right back after this brief message.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
With former Texas Senator Phil Graham. He's now an AEI visiting scholar. Phil, I want to just pick up on this. You know, Biden's speech last week, he basically blamed Vladimir Putin. And then he, you know, went on to make these political attacks. He's coming up with this phrase, ultra MAGA. So they're trying to bring in Donald Trump. So blame Donald Trump for the inflation. There was no inflation during the Trump years. Trump left the inflation rate about 1.5%. Biden denied, I mean, he was forceful. He denied that federal spending was the problem. And I just have a little list. In that speech, he called for more subsidies for child care, elder care, electric vehicles, farmers, home builders, and, of course, green energy. Wouldn't be a good Biden speech unless we had more green energy subsidies. So there he is saying spending's not the problem. And he put up a half a dozen additional spending plans. He's really still pushing for the $5 trillion version of Build Back Better. So if you don't recognize the problem, how the heck are you going to solve it? If you don't own the problem, how the heck are you going to solve it?
Well, I think that's the problem. I think the Democrats, when Biden took office, could not resist throwing away almost $2 trillion, a 50% increase in government spending. And having thrown the money away, then they came and spent it in ways that induced people not to work. You know, not everybody in America has an exciting job. Some people work hard and they do things that are difficult. And if you're willing to pay people the same amount of money for not working, there are a lot of people that are going to not work. If you do that, you're going to have a reduction in the number of people in the labor market. And that's exactly what happened. And at the same time, of course, the spending is driving up the demand for goods and services. There are fewer people working, so you're producing few fewer goods and services. And we're not having cheap imports now because they have the same problems. And so all of this is creating a problem that is not going to get better until we change policy. It's sort of like being overweight. You're not going to get rid of being overweight by justifying eating more. You have to make a change. And if we're going to do something, and look, if we don't stop spending and the Fed really does put on the brakes, this new borrowing is going to create competition for available capital, and interest rates are going to really zoom. So we're down now to the point where this thing could get significantly worse. And, you know, all the discussions are it's going to get better. And some parts of it, the parts of it that have to do with the so-called supply chain problem, but much of the supply chain problem, Larry, is we're trying to buy more goods than can be produced. That creates supply chain problems. So it's not just the lingering effect of the pandemic anymore. It's not just the war in Ukraine. It's government in the midst of all these other factors that are adding to the problem continues to spend money. And as a result, the problem is not getting better and could get worse. And my guess is if spending doesn't stop and the Fed really steps on the brakes, that you're going to see interest rates go up significantly, because then government is going to be competing with the private sector for available capital. And that's where big time recessions come from. So it's a serious problem.
No, I was just going to say, Senator Graham, I was just going to say on the supply chain stuff, if you're increasing demand at a rapid rate because of all this government spending and the Fed's easy money, nominal GDP, which is a pretty good proxy for aggregate demand, you know, nominal GDP is rising at double digits, 10 or 12%. So pandemic or no pandemic, you can't produce enough goods to cover that. I mean, I think that's one of the problems in the supply chain argument. There's no miracle on the supply side. I mean, except for all the regulations that are cutting back on supply. But, you know, pandemic stuff notwithstanding, how the hell are you going to create enough goods? How can you produce enough goods to meet a 12% increase in nominal GDP? I mean, we've never done that.
You're always going to have a supply chain problem when you're demanding more than society can produce.
Right.
And I mean, supply chain has become an excuse.
Yes.
And again, how many people in the real world where you live do you know that fix problems when the best they can do in describing the problem is to make excuses? It just doesn't happen. And government is not that different than the real world. If you can't say, here is the problem, we caused it, now we've got to undo the things we've done, you end up in the situation we're in now where Biden's solution to every problem is more spending.
Right.
And why is it the solution? Because it's the predetermined answer. They are in power, they are concerned they're going to lose power, and they want to use the opportunity they have now, make government bigger, and they're willing to do it even if it produces many of these other problems. And the sad thing, of course, is the problems will be there when they're gone. And look, when Republicans take control of Congress, in 6 months, they're going to have some heavy lifting. It's sort of, you know, it's going to be a hard job.
we're going to have some leadership on the idea you make of spending less. I mean, that's really spending less. My concern, I mean, I know the cavalry's coming, but I just want to make sure that the cavalry will have the right roadmap when they get there.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned about that.
Spending before we can spend less.
Yeah.
Stopping the spending train would be a major step in the right direction.
Yes, sir.
And as you know, a motion to spend money in Washington never dies from lack of a second.
That's exactly right. Senator Phil Graham, it's always a pleasure. My best regards to Wendy Graham, and thanks very much for this morning.
You tell your wife we send our love.
Thank you. I'll tell Judy. She's around. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.